Butch R, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight in the RAG 2 portion with KK4JBQ. And Larry, again, I hope I don't embarrass you, but I do mean, you know, most of the time when I check in after you, that, you know, your jazz voice, I like to call it, is a compliment. Please take it that way, because you do have that voice that just kind of, I would like in my mind see you as like a jazz DJ kind of voice. And so you do speak very well. And again, it's I know you've mentioned to me a couple of times with the cadence and everything, the way I speak, I would be maybe good as doing like a announcing type thing, but I would have to say the same for your voice and your inflection, and the way you speak is very nice to listen to on the radio. And again, don't take this as a bad thing, but you know, I for years when the well, not years, but months when they would do the late night net, even way back when I first got my license, I would kind of fall asleep while they were doing their rag chew. And, you know, just listen to you guys. It was just a soothing way to go to sleep. You know, some people turn the TV on. Some people, I would leave my radio on and just kind of fall asleep while I was listening. And then when the silence would come in, it would wake me up and I would know to turn the radio off. So if that makes sense. But, no, definitely enjoy listening to you talk on the radio.
Michael, I don't know. I don't think I can claim any pride. I just have a bucket load of things that I can speak. And I think everybody that has particular difficulty, whatever it might be, if it's vision or if it's mobility, whatever it is, if you conquer that, if you overcome the disability, to whatever extent you're able to do that, it's something, it's a thing. It's a thing now. My speech is something that I hold precious. And so I've made a practice of picking up language. I'd go home and my parents, and most especially my sister, would just rake me over the coals. "You talk funny," she says. And I says, her name was Linda. We called her Sam. That doesn't make any sense, I know, but that's a long story. And I'd say, "Honey, Sam, you know, I've lived in a lot of different places, and I try to fit in wherever I am. And so if I lived in Virginia, up around Richmond, they have a certain way of speaking. And after a time, I started sounding like them, don't you know? And if I lived in Florida, that's the same way, but it sounded different to anyone's ear. But I wanted to fit in. It's the same reason wherever it was. So now, hillbilly has been diluted. Diluted by other, well, by the attempts to fit in, you might say. Because no one wants to stand out. No one wants to feel like they're looked down upon. It's something natural that people do. I don't blame anyone for reaching for the natural, but I really, really respect somebody that tries to cover the criticism and not making an issue of somebody's speech. We have in our midst someone who has had, Walt has had a challenge in his life, and he has done something that has impressed me so much. Walt, if you're still listening, I just want to say this right up front. I admire what you've done, pushing through and being understood. Maybe there's a few of us out here who have a special respect for you, and I salute you, sir. KK4JDQ.
I would second that, and like you said, you know, part of our hobby is, you know, communication, and a big part of that obviously is language. I mean, again, you know. So, and I have, you know, there's definitely challenges that, you know, happen in radio, you know, static or noise or low volume or low transmit volume or noise coming in on our signal. And then again, like you mentioned, there's just sometimes it's the way people speak. You know, Angie will yell at me a lot. Well, not yell, but she'll tell me a lot of times, you need to slow down. Because apparently when I talk on the radio, I talk like five times faster than I normally do. And, you know, some of that, again, is trying to be concise. And you know, part of our art is to pass traffic or our information quickly and succinctly and efficiently as possible. So, you know, it is kind of interesting because that's part of what we do is we have to listen. Because, again, everybody does speak differently, has different dialects, that kind of thing. And I remember years ago, it was kind of funny, one of my, you know, Navy stories, but we had pulled into Gibraltar after going and visiting several European countries where people are speaking French and Italian and Spanish. And, you know, so we had, or at least I, had gotten to the point where I wasn't really, you know, listening. So the voices would kind of drone into the background because I didn't understand what they were saying. And we were sitting in a pub, and finally, some English folks, some British English folks, started kind of poking fun of us, and they're like, "Oh, you don't understand the King's English, eh?" And we kind of all laughed, and we were like, "It's pretty bad. We don't even understand English anymore." But we kind of laughed, and you know, kind of met with those guys, but. You know, it didn't really sound like English. It sounded like somebody was speaking a foreign language, but they were speaking British English, which we hadn't really paid attention or heard when we were in Gibraltar. And it was just kind of funny. Once we had sat around with them and started listening a little bit, we understood a little bit more.
Well, Michael, I'll tell you something that I learned, and to my great surprise, is I was talking to someone who had lived in England for a period of time and learned something over there from the natives that is not widespread knowledge. So here you go. There was a king in England, and I forget which one it is, I'm sorry, who thought he wanted to change the tone of the English language. Or maybe it's other characteristics of the language wanted to change. And it wound up being what it is today. There was a change. The interesting part of this is they spoke like us. Much more like we do than like they currently did. This is originally, they spoke a great deal more like we do. And that just blew me. That just blew my mind. Just blew my, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Because I've always heard that very identifiable English accent. But that has been something that's changed. I should probably look into that a bit further so that I have a better explanation for it. Pin it on that king or that period. And who they were interacting with or, you know, whatever. But originally they spoke more like us. But even within the United States, there are particular dialects of English, brogues, if you will. That's what it's called in some places. Accents, it's called in other places. Twang, it's called in other places. I have enjoyed living in some of those places. And you do. You start talking very differently. I lived in New Orleans for a while. And I learned first off, I mean, like the first day, I was told, when I call it New Orleans, they put me to rights. I'm telling you, it's New Orleans. They say, New Orleans. Can you say New Orleans? I said, sure, I can say it. Can you stop saying it? So we had a little session, you know. And from then on, whenever I was speaking to someone from New Orleans, I called it New Orleans. Makes sense, I guess. KK4, JPQ.
Laughing a little bit, too, because I was going to mention the different dialects. And what? Just out of curiosity, what do you call the downtown area where we live, the green area over there?
if you give me a clue, because I have not made I've not made many showings at our downtown area. So if there's a particular thing that it's called, I would call it downtown, but you have something else in mind. Just I'll speak more to the point if you can help me there.
Lance, ask that correctly, because I know we have a lot of downtown areas, but I meant how do you say the green, V-I-L-L-E, how would that word be pronounced for you?
That's true, and Donna and I had a little conversation about that some years ago. And it was for that very reason. There's a Greenville in Tennessee. I'm originally from Tennessee. And it's a little south of the northeastern corner in the mountains. It's a little south of there that you'll find a town that is Greenville. And I noticed when I got here, everybody was saying Greenville. I don't hear that as so different, maybe because it's so well incorporated. I've been here for going on 26 years. And so once upon a time, however, I called everything Greenville. Yeah, this is what you were talking about, right?
Again, you know, again, it is kind of funny because Angie makes fun of me because being from Virginia, occasionally I will still call it Greenville and Greenville and uses like the shorter term for it. But it is just kind of funny to hear the different dialects, you know, like in Charleston, I think they call it Gullah or Geechee or, you know, the different dialects on some of the islands. And like we were talking about, it's English, but if you're not listening or paying attention, and even you mentioned Louisiana, some more of the fun stuff on, I can't remember the TV show where they hunt the alligators on the Discovery Channel. Listening to those guys that live, I think it's Swamp People, maybe. But it's just funny to me, they're speaking English, but they put subtitles on the bottom of the TV so that the rest of us can understand what they're saying.
You really did, because, yeah, that is English that deserves subtitles. You know, I lived in New Orleans for quite some time, and so I got my ear became tuned over time. It does take a few months, really, of constantly being exposed and being corrected, I'm afraid, to fit in. Now, I was never able to speak Cajun. I was never, I'm going to get in trouble perhaps, but I was never able to appreciate their music. It's a lot of clanging. They can take a banjo and make it clang. And same with a fiddle, you know, and these are, and a guitar. These are our characteristic instruments from where I grew up, and you expected a certain sound, but it was as different as night and day. The tempo also was almost redundant. You know, da 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 da. I mean, it was almost redundant. Everything that you heard was like that. Oh, anyhow. Before we break off and do something else with our lives, one thing I wanted to say that just recently, something that I've come to appreciate, something that I would not have perhaps understood at any other time in my life, but I've become very, what they call, aural. Listening has become very important to me. I don't know how that works out, but I find that I enjoy listening much more than I enjoy watching television or something. I'll listen to the radio quite a lot. I was just the other day, this is only recently surfaced, but just the other day I was, you know, I'm on YouTube, right? and somehow I got into this this 2.5 hour this 2.5 hour speech delivered to the gentleman was on stage, and he was explaining to his audience how he came about choosing his thesis for his doctoral degree, his PhD. And I became so enthralled with the way he described that choice of his thesis, how he would make the argument, which is what thesis means. And he went about doing just that. It took 2.5 hours. And I was just nailed to it, you know. It was, of course, partly because he was so well-versed, and you can imagine he was about ready to go before the committee, as they put it, and give his argument and give his thesis. It was in religion, which is a particularly interesting thing to me. I'm the son of a Baptist minister, but that was just a start, you know. Religion is religion itself is very interesting to me because everybody comes at it from a different place, or so it seems. But I listened to that, and I was just in awe of how intelligent he spoke. Well, I can also appreciate somebody standing out in the field leaning on a shovel or a mattock or a plow. My dad gave me a lot of things to appreciate. KK4JBQ.
Star with KK4JBQ and the Rag Chew portion of the Blue Ridge 2 Meter Net. And Larry, I think the same way. I can appreciate a lot of things. I think we've talked about before the things that people that can make things out of nothing, like artists who can paint on a blank canvas, or musicians that can, you know, create a piece of music from their mind, or you know, from the notes, or you know, I've talked about like Dave and my neighbor across the street who can build planes from a box of wood. I mean, it literally is nothing, and they can. To me, it's magic. And you know, not necessarily being, or at least I don't really consider myself creative. I'm more of a technical, like I can look at something and, you know, kind of figure out where the pieces and parts go. But if I had to make that, I can look at it and see why it's broken a lot of times. But if you told me to make it from, you know, a box of raw materials, probably not going to do very well. So, again, I can appreciate anybody that can make that kind of thing. And to stand and watch, or like you were talking about, to listen. You know, I can stand and watch somebody make something. You know, how did you do that? It just amazes me, even to this day. But I would imagine the same thing with, you know, it's kind of what you were talking about listening to him talk. You know, there are people that are really good at public speaking, and there's other people that are really bad. So, but, you know, I think some of that is a learned skill, too. I mean, again, when we were in high school and earlier, you know, we always had to do public speaking. And it was not my favorite thing to do, to get up in public. And still, even on the radio, I don't like to necessarily get up and talk. So that's why calling the net sometimes is good for me. But I do get better, and I key up the mic a little bit more than I used to, but still not as much as I need to.
Well, I think it's because, or at least my impression is that it's because I've lived a number of years. I didn't think this way when I was 35, 45, 55. I did not think this way. The longer you are here, the more discerning you are about, oh, let's continue with language. About your own language, about the languages you hear around you. Maybe it's someone whose original language is Spanish, and they're trying to speak your language. They're giving it all, you know? And I haven't had the gumption to even start that trip to learn how to speak anyone's language but my own. And so just out of respect, it's my feeling that just out of respect, I should acknowledge that they're giving it a try. They're making the effort. You know, maybe someday it'll come to me that this is what I want to do. I think a start may have been those folks. It was a singing group that were going to sing in our church, and so they had gathered. I quickly thought, well, just walk up and say hello, because I knew that word, not hard to, you know, make myself understood. But that I didn't realize now. This is how ignorant I was. I didn't realize that just saying one word just gets the conversation starting, right? And I wasn't able to hold up my end. I was embarrassed, and rightly so. So, believe me, if there's somebody out there that knows another language, I admire what you've done. KK4JBQ.
Let me go ahead and ID here as well. AK4HR, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net and the RAG 2 portion of the net tonight with KK4JBQ. And Larry, let me pause and see if we have any additional check-ins out there. We've been kind of talking for a little while, so we'll have to see. I don't like to call them late check-ins because they're not late as long as the net's still going. Additional check-ins for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight, Alpha through Zulu in the suffix of your call. You want to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call AK4HR, net control.
Sure. In Whiskey Bravo 4, Zulu, Papa Hotel. My name's David. I'm in Taylor's, and I'll be negative and negative.
Welcome to the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight. Of course, David's call sign, Whiskey Bravo 4, Zulu, Papa Hotel, WB4ZEPH. And David, appreciate you coming by. Again, Larry and I are just kind of chewing the fat here, rag chewing a little bit. Just kind of continue on with the net. But appreciate you coming by and checking in, David. Always good to hear you, and appreciate you checking in with us tonight. All right, let's give one additional call here, and we'll continue on with our rag chew. Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning the suffix of your call. And you wish to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call AK4HR, net control. Out everybody for the moment, and like you were saying, I don't know if I think it's more us being embarrassed because, you know, I've had a couple of experiences with non-native speakers. Our neighbors across the street, when they first moved in, I've mentioned him several times, my friend Gerhardt, him and his wife had moved in, and he'd been here for a couple of years before she had had moved into the United States with him because he was here working. So he had a couple years of English, and, you know, even in the years he's been here, occasionally there's still some words he doesn't get. But, I mean, you wouldn't really know otherwise. But when his wife first got here, she kind of felt the same way. She didn't want to make a mistake. And I'm kind of like you. You have to respect somebody that's trying to learn your language and wants to. There was a internet video years ago, one of the soccer players, Ronaldo, I think he was. I don't know if he's, I don't know if he's Brazilian or not Brazilian. Anyway, I'm not sure what his native language is, but there was a younger child was trying to ask him some interview questions, and he did not speak his language, but he was trying to. And, like, you know, they were in, like, a press conference or something, and a lot of people in the press conference were kind of laughing because he was stammering through trying to get the question out in the soccer player's native language. And he's like, no, no, you guys need to stop. He's trying very hard to speak to us in our language. You need to respect that. So, you know, it is difficult. And, again, you know, having tried in different countries, you know, like I say, I think it's easier if you're immersed in it than trying to learn it from, you know, an audio book or a computer language course or something. I think, you know, being immersed in it and having to speak it, kind of like Morse code, is you know, if you have to do it, it becomes one of those things where I have to do it, so it, maybe that makes it easier to learn. I just don't know.
Boy, now, said something there that that touches a spot in me. Languages, and of course Morse code is a language, they come easier when you're younger. I understand why, and yet I still struggle with the code. I took classes. I tried different computer programs to help me. I read a ton of suggestions as to how I should conduct myself along the way, how I should study, what I should provide myself with, and how I should attack the thing, how I should adjust my attitude toward it, and all that, and nothing has made a difference. I just have a real blockage, and it is perhaps the delicate symbiosis that has to occur with speaking and hearing. And that's emphasized with Morse code. Because while you have freedom to change the frequency or tone, if you will, of your signal, you have to be agile enough to pick up those tones from others who have free rein to transmit a tone of whatever frequency they choose, and that will give some people difficulty. Whether it's 500 hertz or 700 hertz, for instance. That sounds different to different ears. But it's more that you're trying to accomplish several things at one time. Recognition, and then if it's a conversation, you just have to change gears. You're not a listener, you're transmitting your side of the conversation. And then you go back to listening, and then you go back to transmitting, you go back to listening. And you're always trying to match the speed. This is a common courtesy. Match the speed of whomever it is you're talking to. Maybe it's someone that's, you know, they're still at 5 words a minute. And you struggle right along with them. Maybe you're the one at 5 words a minute, and whoever's talking to you is paying you that same compliment. You know, they've slowed down for you. I get it, and I want to learn code so bad, and I've been at it for now like 3 years, off and on. This is, I understand, perhaps where my problem is. It's the off and on part. Being nose to the grindstone, as it were, is the best way to learn anything, whatever age you are, but being advanced in years doesn't help. A younger person will pick it up in 5 minutes. I've seen this happen. And I've heard other people speak about that phenomenon, that young people can pick it up just quick. If you're 7 years old versus 70 years old, it's a big difference. KK4JBQ.
I kind of share the same experience because, you know, I've tried a couple of times to pick it, well, more than a couple, but several times to kind of pick it up and end up getting sidetracked. And you've probably heard the same things that I've heard. You know, the best thing I've heard was, in order to learn Morse code, you need to take every microphone you have, lock them in a lockbox, and give somebody else the key that won't give it back to you. So you're forced to kind of use the code instead of, you know, going back and using the microphone. But I know we have quite a few hams in our community that, you know, I don't want to call out names, but like Ariel does the soda activations, and does Morse code on those, and if you look at any of the YouTube videos for Soda, that's the easiest thing to do because you can, you know, low power, doesn't require a lot of equipment, so to speak, but same, I pick it up and put it down, pick it up and put it down, and have had some, I don't want to call them learning experiences, but I found a couple of MP3s, and I'll need to try and find them again for some of the code courses. But I found one, and it was purely just repetition, like hundreds of times for each letter. And, you know, they would do it. I know you probably know there's several different ways to learn. There's like the Farnsworth method and the Cook method, or K-O-C-H, I think it's Cook method, where you transmit at speed, but then you leave breaks to slow down to 5 words a minute. So, you know, your dits and dahs are at 20 words a minute, but the spaces in between are slower, and kind of thing like that. But, I mean, the big ones for me were, again, listening to the repetition over and over. But, you know, they start with the most common letters, which, you know, I think everybody learns E, I, A, N, and then move up to F, G. Those are the ones I seem to have problems with. But, again, my problem is if I'm listening and I get stuck on a letter, I'm stuck. My brain doesn't say, forget that letter, move on to the next one. It's just after I miss one letter, everything turns into gibberish. And if I could kind of, I think, get to the point where I could let it go and just try and copy the next letters, I would maybe do better. But, again, I haven't given up, but I'm not making much progress. We'll put it down.
I'll give you the benefit, since this is the only thing in our conversation that's going to be worth the while on this topic. The benefit of a couple of things. It's pronounced Koch, the Koch method, and Farnsworth. They're both valid as technique. Technique comes after the basic knowledge of the pattern of dits and dahs. That's the basic knowledge you have to have, and you get that from the repetition. What I've wondered is this. If you could arrange a conversation, not have to think about what you're saying, and you can... What I think people are looking for is some measure of success. Success encourages people. I've seen it all my life. Failure, that disappoints people. And it discourages. This makes sense, yes? So, in order to guarantee that you have success, and going forward, changing it slightly, making it just a little bit tougher as you go along, but to begin with, figure out someone, you could do it, you could do it simplex. If there's somebody close and you have a point-to-point contact, you could do it without a key. You can just go dit. Da 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 dit 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 dot dit dit, you know. That didn't mean anything, I know. But if you could just do it with your voice, you could do it with a key. You could tap on the microphone. Or you could actually do it over the air, you know. Whatever you choose to do, you have got the words already mapped out, and you can practice those words. What I'm saying is that an important part of learning anything is recognizing some success along the way. Plan for it, make it happen, and then you can boast because it'd be helpful perhaps if someone knew a little more than you did. But if you're both in the same boat, well, so be it. That's how I think about it, and that just involves, especially today with people being so busy here, there, and the other place, arranging two meetings with somebody is difficult. You know, you're talking about, you know, what you're up to and then what they're up to, and try to make that work twice in a week. Stick-to-itive, if you have some stick-to-itiveness, that's a made-up word, then, and some success, I think it's possible over time with the success that you realize that it becomes a comfortable thing. If it's somebody you know and you just get over the embarrassment, see, with every new person that you meet, there's always that possibility of a new incidence of embarrassment. It doesn't help if you've been embarrassed 10 times already that week. If this is a new person, you can get a fresh case of embarrassment, you know, right away with a new person. That's the way we are. As humans, that's the way we are. So, you get over this with one person and stick to it. And both of you, I'm thinking both of you will benefit from that. Took a class with another hand that I was, that I'd known a while. We were on speaking terms easily. We don't live that far away from each other, and yet we never came up with that that strategy to you could do it with an oscillator, and do it over a telephone call. You know, the oscillator would make your dips and dahs, and you wouldn't necessarily have to use the airwaves. If you're on a telephone, on the landline, so to speak, then you're not being overheard by others. No chance of being embarrassed by others. There's a way to do it. What do you think? KK4JBQ.
Well, Jar with KK4JBQ in the Rag Chew portion of the Blue Ridge TV Internet tonight. And yeah, Larry, I think, again, I tell my kids all the time, I think a lot of times, I think we're all that way. We're more embarrassed than somebody else is. Does that make sense? But we feel it more internally than a lot of, I mean, sometimes people can make that, but I think a lot of times we internalize a lot more things. And I know, and I'll go back to, I think Ariel at one time was doing some 2-meter scheduled Morse code practice sessions with a few people. It's probably been a couple years, but I know they were doing some, or they would get together. I forget who Ariel was working with, but I think they were doing some things. And, of course, there's all kinds of, like, the SKCC club. They'll get on and they'll set Elmers up with people. But I'm like you, though. I want to have a certain proficiency before I spend time with somebody else doing it. And I know I haven't done my due diligence yet to waste somebody else. And not waste. I mean, it wouldn't be necessarily a waste, but for them to sit there, for me to struggle through it when I don't feel like I'm to that point yet. But, you know, again, it seems to be during the winter when I when it gets dark earlier, so I have a little bit more time inside. And so I think probably January, February time frame. Seems to be when I normally pick it back up. I'm like, I have a few more minutes. Maybe I should try this again. And it seems to be a little bit easier each time because it comes back a little bit faster. But I am still in no way ready to get on the air. I think I have one, and he and I were kind of communicating over the Internet. And, you know, I was able to send the code, and he would type what he thought I sent because he needed South Carolina. Worked all states on one of the bands. So he worked with me and I worked with him to actually copy the CQ and his signal report and all that kind of stuff. So I have one CW contact in my log and that's it.
You have one more than I do. Not saying a lot, I would agree, but perhaps need to change the subject, or I just run out, you know. There's not another thing I mean, there are other things I could say, but they're not anything that I wouldn't be embarrassed to say. I mentioned that I took a class, and I did so poorly in the class, and it wasn't the instructor's intention, but it just happened that he made an example of me, and I have to carry that, you know. I have to carry that, and this has been, you know, it was being filmed for the internet. It's on the internet. So, you know, things get complicated. So before you get in that situation, plan your next effort for success. That's the best way to achieve it, is to plan for it. For crying out loud. Making every effort to do what others have done and succeeded. And sometime you'll find it. It's just a combination of temptation that works for you. This is how I understand it to be, and until I find my combination, I won't be able to verify that to be true, I suppose. But it does make sense. It does make sense. Well, Michael, I've kept you to, it's 15 till 11, I guess. How about that? This is some kind of record. But I felt good tonight. I've been having voice problems lately. A bit distressing, but I've been in good voice tonight, and perhaps I'm coming out of this slump that I've been in, kind of been hoarse, and my larynx is starting to creep in even now because of the length of our conversation, frankly. So exercise is probably a good thing. Correctly breathing is another. But anyhow, I'll turn you loose. I appreciate you being there tonight, bringing us all together. And for yourself and the other two people that are listening still, I hope you have a great day tomorrow. And again, thank you for calling the net. This is KK4JBQ. I'll turn it back to you. Have a good night, Michael.
For HR, wrapping up the RAG2 portion with KK4JBQ. And Larry, always good to chat. And again, extend the net out a little bit, but a little bit longer. Didn't have quite as many check-ins tonight, but we'll do a couple more final calls before we secure the net. But definitely enjoyed it. Don't know that we solved any of the world's problems, but at least we're still communicating, which is the most important thing. But Larry, definitely appreciate you being here tonight and chatting with us, and we'll definitely chat again first chance we get, for sure. But yeah, dress your vocal cords a little bit, and I know Patrick will definitely be in here tomorrow night, and want more folks to come and check in with him as well. But I'll let you go tonight as well. Go in there with Miss Donna and enjoy the rest of the evening. And we'll give one or two final calls here, see if we can get any additional check-ins for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning of suffix of your call, and you wish to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call AK4HR, net control. Most normally means we have everybody. Thought there might be a couple of stations out there listening to Larry and I keep the finals warm up there on the mountain. But one final call. If I missed anyone for comments or check-ins, please call AK4HR, net control. Additional stations for check-ins tonight. Patrick, KO4HKX, it's on the schedule for tomorrow night to call the net. I know he'd appreciate you coming by and checking in with him, as if you would, at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Stand by. I'll pass my net report electronically, and then we'll secure the net. AK4HR now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for all stations that checked in, and Larry for hanging out doing some RAG2 with us for sure. Remember and do your best and try and keep that magic RF smoke inside the components where it belongs, and come back and check in again tomorrow night. We'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless.